Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Have you found that when God seems to hesitate in answering our prayers, our faith wavers? We panic and we sometimes take independent action. That is independent of God.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Let me ask you, do you ever feel as though your prayers never make it past the ceiling? As though God simply isn't listening or isn't even there? Well, today on The Verdict, as we continue in our series with Wings Like Eagles, we're dealing with those frustrating times and what to do when our prayers seem unanswered. Now, to introduce today's lesson, here's Pastor John Monroe.
In our series with Wings Like Eagles, we've turned to the Word of God to think of many important subjects: discouragement and depression, what to do when life seems meaningless, and how to face our fears. Today we're thinking of another common problem. I'll be surprised if you've never encountered this problem, the problem of unanswered prayer. We know we should pray. The Lord Jesus encourages us to pray to our Heavenly Father. But don't you sometimes wonder if God even hears your prayers? We pray, and it seems that there's no response. We wonder if something has gone wrong. Is it our lack of faith, unconfessed sin, or some other problem? Thanks for joining me today on The Verdict as we deal with this important subject of unanswered prayer. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to the first book in the Bible, Genesis. And we're going to understand two things about unanswered prayer today. Here's the first one. The answer to our prayers may be delayed to teach us that with God, nothing is impossible. Now, you think that sounds strange, but bear with me. The answer to our prayers, to your prayers, may be delayed to teach you that with God, nothing is impossible. We pray for a new job. We pray for healing. We pray for the salvation of a friend. We pray for the resolving of a personal problem or situation in our family, in our circumstances, and the answer doesn't seem to come. Now let's read from Genesis 12, and I want to illustrate this principle from the life of Abraham and Sarah. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country." He's in Ur of the Chaldeans, we recognize as present-day Iraq. "So I want you to go from your country, Abraham, as he was called then, and your kindred and your father's house, to the land that I will show you." He'd never been there. "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed." Here is the beginning of what we call the Abrahamic covenant. And Abraham is going to be tremendously blessed. He's promised land, he's promised personal blessing, and he's promised a family. Problem is, at this time, he has no children. God is promising that he's going to take this man, this great man Abraham, and make of him a great nation. In fact, in Abraham, all of the families of the earth are going to be blessed, but they have no children. Now, they obey God. They walk with God. They're living by faith. Now, one would have thought Abraham and Sarah are not newlyweds at this point. They're not in their teens. They're rather old. And one would have thought that with such a blessing, God would have given them many, many, many children. Think of Abraham's grandson, Jacob. He's going to have 12 sons. That's pretty good, isn't it? But they have no children at all. And as the story unfolds, we read in Genesis 12, they obey God, they go to what is called the promised land, Canaan. And when they're there, there's a famine, and they find themselves down in Egypt. And these have done a remarkable thing. They've left everything they've known and gone into a totally unknown situation, obeying God. They are people of faith, But when they're in Egypt, Abraham's faith wavers. He doubts. In fact, he tells a lie about his wife, Sarah. This man who'd been marked by faith, who'd been marked by obedience, instead of trusting God in a difficult situation, he's characterized by disobedience. He's characterized by lying. See, we tend to think instinctively, emotionally, that when we do what God wants us to do, when we step out in faith, that everything is going to go smoothly. But we're going to see that there's a continuing pattern in the life of this godly couple, Abraham and Sarah, a continuing pattern of belief and unbelief. Turn over to chapter 15. The years pass, and still there is no child. How can from you, Abraham, come this great nation when you don't even have one child? Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield. Your reward shall be very great. There's the promise reiterated. This promise, you remember it? It's going to be great. But Abraham says, oh Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. Abraham, I want to trust you. I'm telling you, you're going to have your own son. And he brought him outside and said, look towards heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Isn't that amazing? The years go by, Abraham and Sarah are getting older and older, and still there is no son. And God, you are repeating the promise. But I've got no heir. If I died now, all I have is going to be left to my servant, to the house of Eliezer of Damascus. And God said, no, come here. Get out of your tent, look at the sky. You see all these stars? So shall your descendants be. Chapter 16. And Abraham believes God, strong in his faith. But chapter 16. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. The writer of Genesis wants you to understand that the years are going on and still Sarah is without children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar, and Sarah said to Abraham, behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. Oh, Sarah, what are you saying? And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. Husbands, don't always listen to your wife. She's going against the word of God and the promises of God. Don't listen to her. But Abraham did. He'd lived 10 years in the land of Canaan. Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abraham, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And there is born Ishmael. Chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 1. The years continue. How old is Abraham now? Still, there is no child of promise. Still, Sarah has never had a child. How old is he? When Abraham was 99 years old. He's old enough to be a great grandfather. He's 99. But listen to this. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. The covenant, the promise, is being repeated. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude. For I've made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojourners, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. He's 99. God repeats his promise. You say, why would God do this to this man? You made these promises 20, 30 years ago. Why would you do this? I don't know. But God is faithful, and God is always true to his promises. You know, this is, we read the story when their prayers were not being answered, how they desperately longed for a son. And when it didn't come, they tried to organize things themselves. Sound familiar? Acting as if they knew better than God. Their faith falters. Doubt comes into their lives. And so Sarah suggests to Abraham, I will take Hagar as your wife. And she conceives, Ishmael is born, but he is not the child of promise. Chapter 18, verse 9. Genesis 18, 9. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. And the Lord says, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. There it is. The promise repeated and a time given to it. A year from now, your wife is going to have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind them, eavesdropping. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. You better believe it. The writer wants you to understand this. The way of woman had ceased to be with Sarah. She has passed the age of bearing a child. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out, and my Lord Abraham is old, Abraham was 10 years older than her, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a son now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can you answer that question? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. In the New Testament, we know a virgin will conceive. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah laughs at the whole idea. All of these promises given to Abraham become increasingly unlikely as the years go by. You can pray all of you want, but the son is not coming. And now, because they're old, past the age of having children, this is an impossible situation. Haven't you found that when God seems to hesitate in answering our prayers, we, like Abraham and Sarah, often doubt God? Our faith wavers, we panic, and we sometimes take independent action. That is independent of God. Here is a Christian woman. She prays for a godly husband. She wants to marry a man who is a strong follower of Jesus Christ, so that they can have a Christian home, that they can raise Christian children in their home. She wants a man that she can love and that she can respect. Isn't that a good prayer? Yes, it is a good prayer. Many women pray for that prayer. But for this young woman, the years go by, and God has not answered her prayers. What sometimes happens? Her faith wavers. She doubts God. And instead of continuing to wait on God, she takes independent action and perhaps is even talked foolishly by some of her so-called friends into dating and eventually marrying a man who does not love Jesus Christ. She rationalizes it and saying, well, he may come to saving faith after we are married, rather than waiting on the Lord. You say, well, waiting on the Lord is hard. I know it is. It's one of the hardest things that we do in the Christian life, isn't it? To wait on the Lord. Are you in that situation this morning? You've prayed to God over something, and God seems to be hesitating. And you're tempted to take action according to your own desires and your own wishes, rather than waiting on God for his purposes to be fulfilled. Isn't it the case? It is the case, illustrated by the story of Abraham and Sarah, that God sometimes delays in answering our prayers. God sometimes does not answer our prayers immediately to demonstrate that with him, nothing is impossible. Had God forgotten his promise to Abraham and Sarah? Does God make a promise and then turn from it? Genesis 21, read with me there. Genesis 21. I'm skipping over so much of the story, you can fill in as you read it later this week. Genesis 21:1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived, finally. She conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. How wonderful. Notice the Lord's promise is fulfilled. Notice that Isaac is born at the time of which God had spoken to him. Isn't it the case that God's timing is always perfect? The psalmist says, as for God, his way is perfect. Don't be wiser than God. Don't try to outwit God. Don't try to manipulate God. God is far wiser and God is far kinder than any of us. And at the right time, at the right moment, God comes through and this son, the son of promise, Isaac, called Laughter, is born. God's timing is absolutely perfect. Now, from our perspective, the longer the delay, the less likely it seems that our prayers will be answered. But the delay, the seeming delay in answering the prayer is not because God doesn't care, but because he wants to teach us that with God, nothing is impossible. If Abraham and Sarah had had a child early in their life, they would have said, this is very natural, it happens all the time. But now, because of the delay, because of the various experiences, they realize that God is almighty, that with God, God can do all things. And when God answers our prayers, when God finally answers our prayers in these very difficult circumstances, isn't it the case that our faith is strengthened as we wait on God? Isn't it a marvelous thing to know that God has acted and God has done something that we by ourselves could never, ever do? And there's many people here who could testify of situations in their life when they have prayed and prayed, and it seemed really hopeless, and then God answered our prayer. Most of you know that Gooden and I came into the United States so I could attend Dallas Theological Seminary. We came in on what is called the student visa, which means that Gooden couldn't work, which meant I had to study. The only work I could do was on campus. I did some grading. I did some teaching assistant, for which Dallas Seminary gave me $4 an hour, which was a little lower than I had been used to, but there it was. And under the visa, at least then, I don't know what the rules are now, that I think within 2 or 3 months after graduating, we had to leave the country. That wasn't any problem to us when we applied for the visa, because we were intending to go back to Scotland. But God, really, not that we wanted to, God called us to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And so we graduated. We went to Pittsburgh. A lawyer in Dallas helped us to get our visa extended, so we went there to minister. And we had been there for some time, maybe up to a year, and one day Goody and I got a letter from immigration. Some of you might have received a similar letter. And it was that you have to get out of the country. It was really by the end of the year. your visa has come to an end. It's not going to be renewed. And if you don't leave, you will be deported. That's great. You know, headlines in the Pittsburgh Gazette, pastor deported, arrested. Great headline. So we thought, what was this? This mystified us. We had prayed and prayed for God to lead us to Pittsburgh. And I called the attorney and he said, there's nothing really you can do. He says, but don't worry. He said, just in these circumstances, stay where you are. They're not really going to deport you. There's so many people in this country. This is legal advice. And he charges for it more than $4 an hour, I may say. And I said to him, I said, I can't do that. I'm a pastor. I can't go against the law. And we prayed, we believed that the Lord was having us in Pittsburgh. He said, no, John, he says, it's not going to happen. He says, but just sit tight and eventually we'll work something out. And I said, no, I can't do that. And we prayed and we prayed. Time went on and no answer was coming. And then, miraculously, it was a miracle, through a contact, someone said, look, I know the head of immigration in Pittsburgh, and I might be able to get you to see him. I said, that would be wonderful. Long story. He said, well, if you do such and such, I can't guarantee it, and I don't deal with it. It goes to another office, but you might possibly be allowed to stay. I called the lawyer very excitedly, and the lawyer said, that doesn't work. That man doesn't know what he's talking about. I said, he's the head of the immigration. So I said, okay, got the forms. Applied, our visa was granted. And we realized it certainly wasn't because of the brilliance of the lawyer in Dallas. And it wasn't because of my brilliance. What was it? It was God. Through the delay, had been at work. And when God eventually, not in our timing, eventually answers a prayer like that, you know, don't you, that God is in this, that there is a living God. And that God is a God who loves us, who cares for us, and sometimes delays answering our prayers so that we may understand that our dependence is on God alone and that God can do the impossible.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the first half of a message titled Unanswered Prayers. Most of us have gone through a time when it feels like God has gone silent. It may seem as though he doesn't hear our prayers. But as John reminded us today, we can always trust in our sovereign God, even though we may not always understand his ways. John has written a guide to help you understand these important truths as you face the difficulties of life, and it's titled Trusting God in Tough Times. The growing uncertainties and social unrest in our world may have undermined your sense of security, but John will point you back to the unchanging truth of God's Word and help you understand these promises of God that are so essential. We'd love to send you a copy completely free as our gift to you. To receive a copy of Trusting God in Tough Times, just go to our website at theverdict.org. And today, would you consider joining our efforts to continue bringing the truth of God's Word into new communities across the globe with a financial gift of any amount? You can make a donation to help this gospel effort today by simply going to our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. And as we close, I want to remind you to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast. As a special addition to these daily lessons, John is now sharing a weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. Every Tuesday, he's addressing relevant topics like politics and the church and how to keep our priorities straight. You'll find all this and more on The Verdict Podcast. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? What prayers in your life have gone unanswered? What conclusions, if any, have you come to? It's important to realize that even when God is not answering our prayers, God has not forgotten us. Remember, with God, nothing is impossible. I know if you're like me, you want instant answers, but today, be still and know God. His ways are not our ways. Wait on the Lord and be renewed in strength. Don't be bitter, but trust God. We'll continue to deal with this next time on The Verdict. Join me then.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.